Good morning, everyone. As you've heard already, once again, for the mothers here, happy Mother's Day. I want to also acknowledge those who may struggle with today. I learned years ago that at every holiday, everyone rejoices at. So my prayers with any of you who, if you've lost a mother or lost a child, we still celebrate you and the memory of one you lost and just want to say thank God for you. So happy Mother's Day again to all the mothers. It's always a pleasure and honor to be back here, becoming more and more like family every time I come. I'm excited to present the word to you today. I want to do something a little different this morning. I feel like every time I come, I end up ruffling feathers or, I don't want to be that. No, that's not a good thing. I get in trouble for that. I get in trouble for that. Somebody will get mad. I don't know. And I won't care much after I leave, too, as long as it comes from God's word. So, but today I want to do something different because as I believe that, and this morning we talked a little bit about the word of God and it's profitable for training and reproof and correction, teaching. I also know that it provides comfort to us because it tells us who God is. So this morning I want to have a dialogue with you that may challenge you. I pray it does, but more looking at God's faithfulness, because we would all say God is faithful, right? Amen. If you're new here or you're not a member or the first time checking church out, you don't have to say amen to that. You can just hang out. That's okay. For those who've been around, we say the fire a bit. I hope to hear the amen for you. So I want to say that again. We do believe God is faithful, right? Yes. Amen. Awesome. So today we're going to explore that a little bit because what I've found happens at times, whether you're brand new in the faith and you're just kicking things off, but especially if you've been in for a while, the words God is faithful or God, you know, will be faithful or however you want to phrase it, become more of just words rather than an actual motivation to do something. Oftentimes this happens when we're faced or confronted with challenges, difficulties, or even fears. In fact, more often than not, our fears or difficult circumstances rule our emotions. When the going gets tough, we quit. Because we can get bruised and battered. And then we forget the important truth that God really is faithful. When times are hard and challenging, when you feel the weight and the pressures and the cares of life, we can forget God is faithful. And the way Satan has the system set up, right? You read Ephesians, you read 2 Corinthians, Satan is called the prince and the power of the air. The way the system is set up is to continue to try to remove your faith in God. So, you know the saying, when it rains, it pours. You've been through some rain, it sounds like, okay. When it rains, it pours. It's set up that way in the spiritual world, warfare we face. That when things get bad, your faith gets challenged. And when your faith gets challenged, you can have one or two results. And maybe if we want to split hairs, we can get more. But I'm for this purpose, one of two results. You can let it crush you. Let it destroy you. And by the way, destruction doesn't always look the same, but has the same effect at the end. So when I say destruction, I don't mean this immediate walking away from God. I'm never going to church again. And if another Christian speaks to me, I'm punching him in the face. I don't mean that. But I do mean that it can plant a seed of bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, an unloving spirit, a critical it just plants these little seeds that begin to fester and grow, and sin then spreads throughout you. So destruction says the end result, sin, the end result, whether it's a massive falling out or gradual over time, when the weight and pressures get on top of you and start crushing you, when you feel like you can't take anymore, the statement has to be truer than if never at any other time. God is faithful. But what does that actually mean? You have your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 27. And as you know, I'm very transparent, so several embarrassing stories will probably come out. But this is a real issue to me, because in my life verses in this passage, because I have been crushed, and I have been living with weights, and I have struggled as my time in ministry. Now, I've struggled before ministry, but, and I said this morning, for some reason, and maybe they told you this, I thought they told me this, that once I became a Christian, everything would be great. I thought that was somewhere in the accepting Jesus in my heart prayer, you know, going down the front of the aisle, somebody whispered to me, and it's going to be perfect from here on out. I don't, that's not true. We know that, right? But yet it seems like when we were far from God and we struggled with issues, or when we weren't really living for Him and we struggled with issues, somehow we managed. Then you say, okay, I'm going to really give this God thing a shot. And you start struggling and you're a bit confused on what God is doing. You don't have to raise your hand, but anybody been confused on what God is doing? Yeah, I see some head nods. But the statement remains true, right? God is faithful. See, I love the Bible. I love scriptures because you get real people with real issues who aren't real perfect by any means. A lot of them. But God is faithful. And in the Psalms, a lot are written by David, not all. This one is. We're going to see David, and you get real struggles from David. You get real concerns. He really feared for his life. He really had some issues. But God is faithful. And how does that work? And what does that look like? And then how do we walk away, back out? Because this is safe, right? This is comfortable for about an hour and a half. You can kind of forget all the stuff exists. But as soon as it's over, you walk back into the stuff. And how can you walk back into the stuff remembering that God is faithful? He's doing something. Oh, and it's for your good. Psalm 27. David starts this song. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But by the way, fear is deadly. Fear is dangerous. Now, there's a healthy fear. There's a respect and a reverence, right? I feared my grandmother, my Nana. That's a healthy fear. She was God-fearing and lovely and had a strong backhand. You watch her. Okay, now home with the Lord. I feared my grandmother, healthy fear. We're to fear and respect and give reverence to God, right? That He is a friend and a comforter and He's near, but He's still this awesome God who is holy and just and does things that blows our little minds. So there's healthy fear. That's not the fear I'm talking about, though. And that's not the fear David's talking about. David's talking about that fear that keeps you up at night. That fear that gives some sleepless nights, some tearful nights. The fear that leads to some mental breakdowns. Sitting in your car crying or wondering or pacing the floor or panicking. The fear that wants you to push the panic button. See, oftentimes we don't realize it, but fear can grip us in a number of ways. Our circumstances, the weight and pressures can grip us in a number of ways that make us respond in a very frantic way. The New York Times back in 2011, I think it was 2010, 2011, I believe, wrote a piece, an article about anxiety and disorders and various things of the nature. And they talked about how people dealt with issues. And they're interviewing all these people. So they have all the people list how they deal with it. Some people, I go for a run. Some people, I drink a bottle. Some people, I do X, Y, and Z. One person, it stuck out to me, always will, says, I try to ignore it. I do whatever work, I do whatever activity, I do something because I'm trying to ignore it. And it resonated with me because I feel like I've seen that done in my life, parents or friends. Maybe I've done it myself, maybe you've done it, right? Denial is huge. You try to ignore something because you really don't have an answer for it. So if I just put it under a rug and step over it enough, maybe I'll flatten it at some point and it'll go away. The reality is that never works. Weight and pressures and fear and issues consume us and we can be overtaken. But David writes this, Lord is my light and my salvation, whom can I fear? He starts off by saying, since God is the one who guides me and the one who delivers me, whom shall I be afraid? Why shall I fear? And he makes these statements and you get these word pictures from scripture. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? I read that and you can probably picture it yourself, but you can get this image of this castle. If you ever seen like castles from the Middle Ages and how intense they were, how well built most were and well defended they were. I mean, you just didn't have a few people run up on them and try to take them. That wasn't going to happen. And David gives this word picture that God is the stronghold of his life. He's the one that keeps him safe. He's the one that keeps him guarded. His security isn't in things. It's in God. And so he asked the question again, whom shall I be afraid? Whom shall I fear? If I truly believe and serve and sing songs about this awesome, mighty God that I adore and let's sing to him, then it puts in perspective, he's the one, my life is in his hands, and he's the one that guides me and leads me and protects me. So then therefore, natural question that follows is, whom shall I be afraid? In verses 1 through 6 of the psalm, I love it because David gives this strong declaration of who God is, even in the midst of his circumstance. Verse 2, when the evildoers assail me, when the evildoers come against me, when the evildoers come after me to eat up my flesh. Right? They're not just trying to steal my possessions. That's one thing. David gives you a word. They're trying to eat my flesh. They want everything I have and then some. They are coming to overtake me. And I will have nothing, not even my life. Now, here's the awesome thing. Maybe not all of you, I can be pretty sure, but I'm like 99.5% sure that you don't have someone coming to take your life today. You may have some people that don't like you. Some people that wish you weren't around. But most of us don't have people who are actually willing to do something about that. And thank God for that. See, David did. Like, I don't know if you understand this, but David had real people who at one point in time wanted him dead and said, let's strategize how to do this. And then let's execute it. He more than once ran from his life from people. And so here David is writing saying that these people actually want me gone and they want to attack me and overtake me and eat my flesh. He says, my adversaries and my foes, but it is they who stumble and fall. Now, my understanding of the text is as David is writing this, he's not literally watching people fall, nor does he know if they will stumble and when and if indeed they do. But here's where his confidence is, because once again, God is faithful. And because God is David's light and salvation, because God is the one who protects David, he can anticipate God protecting him. And so then he can say, although they're seeking and coming after me to take everything I have, it's them that will stumble and fall. See, we struggle with challenges and issues. And dare we have the confidence like this? And you know, it's easy to give advice like this, right? Somebody comes and says, well, I'm just having a really tough time and I'm worried a lot and anxiety and it's making me lose weight or gain weight or it's freaking me out and I'm irritable. It's really easy to say, oh, well, this too shall pass. Anybody ever tell you that? Maybe you said that to somebody. Okay, this too. I couldn't stand when they said that to me. This too shall pass. I don't even know what that, what are we saying? When? And how much do I have to endure? And once again, I don't mean it. I'm not saying stop saying it. See, there I go again, ruffles and feathers. I can't help it. I'm not saying stop saying. I'm just saying, give me a little bit more than that. This too shall pass. How? This too shall pass because God is faithful. Oh, okay. Thanks. If we're going to believe that God is faithful and has our best interest in mind, if we're going to believe that he's doing something, and in God moving and doing something, it will be for our good. Then we can view our problems and our issues and our circumstance and our weights with having a purpose. You don't have to turn there, but James, and I go to it and you'll read it and you go, oh yeah, I know that. James says it this way, chapter 1. James says, count it all joy. Right? See, you can just probably finish that. when you meet various kinds of trials, when you face divers of temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let it have its full work or effect in your life, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith. So there's one thing that God allows stuff to happen to us to test, to prove, to reassure your faith in him, because he's moving you somewhere. Oftentimes it's not even for you, but to bless someone else. Crazy how that works, right? But there are some real pressures we face. And I learned this too over years. There are pressures we face that we don't even share with spouses or best friends. We are really good at internalizing things, swallowing the issue, and letting it just destroy us on the inside. Maybe you've never done that, but we're real good at that. How we can read scripture, think about 30,000 people that verse applies to, that need to read that, or hear a message and say, yeah, this applies to my friend. Wish they were in church that day. And then walk out and let the weight and the pressures and the cares of this world consume us, that we are losing of the handle and the very grip we hold fast to. But God is faithful. And if David, in the midst of his attackers, in the midst of a problem that was, once again, probably way more crucial than what we're going through, can look at it and say, yeah, but it's ultimately them who will fall because I have God as my stronghold. In fact, he says, though an army encamps against me, my heart shall not fear. Sometimes we play it cool like we got it all together. Right? Calm, cool, and collected. No sweat off your brow. How you doing today? We always get that answer, fine. It could be the worst day we've ever, fine. Why? Because I'm not going to tell you how I'm really doing. Some of us are screaming inside that we're a mess. But God is faithful. And David looks at this and says, but listen, although an enemy, an army, encamps around me, although that there are way more people than who I am coming to get me and eat my flesh, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. Now listen, don't judge me. I'm going to tell you a story. Don't judge me. I didn't grow up in a slave home. Okay. And not that if you do, you still don't get in the problem I went to, but just don't judge me. I remember when I was in daycare, crazy that I remember this, but I do, that I was in daycare and I had my first fight. Okay, my first fight in daycare. I don't advocate fighting. Okay, parents don't think I'm telling your kids go beat up a little kid or something like that. No, it's wrong. But I remember in daycare, I remember the kid's name, Jonathan. That's right. I don't remember what happened. We started playing with toys. I mean, you're in daycare. You're running around. You're being silly. There's no real cares. But, like, he took something of mine. I was so angry, I remember pushing him. Well, what happens when you push somebody? Typically, they push you back. Right? And I remember us fighting. Well, that was daycare. Somehow, Jonathan and I ended up in school years later again. Now, I won that fight in daycare, by the way, just so you know. Well, we end up in school years later. And he actually remembered this thing. See, I remember it because the story recounted later. He remembered it when we got, like, in middle school or whatever, and held a grudge and was like, hey, I want to fight you again, and my friends are coming. Now, by that time in middle school, I was super handsome, and so I didn't want anybody to hit my face. Okay? So I was afraid that this guy and his not-so-handsome friends would come and mess me up. And I remember that feeling of people coming after you in middle school, right? So I don't want to wait for the bus anymore because that gives them too much time. So I remember all day in school, all I was doing was trying to plot out how to get home. All right, can't wait for the city bus because they never show up on time. So maybe I can leave from the back of the school, run up the street here. Don't go I'm fearing for my little tiny life that I have. Okay? You may have had nothing ever that dramatic, and I pray you never do. But I try to use that just as an illustration of when you feel like you have no options, what your brain does, right? You get emotional, you get scared. I mean, I couldn't think the whole day. It really consumes you. And I hope you hear me saying that over and over again, because pressures of life are real, but God is much more powerful. He's much bigger. He's greater than what we face. Whether it's genuine financial crisis, I say genuine in the sense of you're not being irresponsible with your money, you just don't have enough. Whether it's a family crisis, you've got people in your home and you want to rip your hair out, maybe even take your head off and just, I mean, you want to get away, it's stressing you out. Or maybe your heart's so heavy that you haven't smiled in a really long time. I mean, you fake it, but you haven't genuinely rejoiced and smiled, right? I don't know where it is, but God is faithful and he's greater than that. And what we see is we see David experiencing something and able to look at his experience, able to look at what's going on and say, yet I will be confident. All this madness and mess and craziness is going on in my life, but I'm going to be confident because God really is my peace, my comfort, my security, my stronghold, my safety. God is faithful in what he says and what he does. And in four, my life verse here. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek. Now, before you get to the rest of that, after David has said, hey, there are people coming to get me, overtake me, destroy me. If I got one thing to ask, I'm thinking you asked for some help. Lord, send me some people to fight this battle. Send me the means to get out of it. Lord, send me something to make sense of this madness. But David says, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Notice that David says, while madness is going on, while the waters are rising, while I am sinking fast, while all this is happening, there's one thing I'm asking, one thing I'm seeking, not revenge, not punishment, not vindication, not looking to get answers quickly. I'm looking to spend time with God. One thing I will seek, that one thing I will ask for is to enter into God's presence, to gaze upon his beauty, to inquire in his temple. I want to know more about God. I want to experience a closer relationship with God. I want to be intimate with God. Oh, yeah, I hear the noise outside. I want more Jesus. Oh, I hear the drama on the phone. I want more Jesus. Yeah, I know so-and-so needs this and so-and-so needs that, and I don't have enough to give myself anything, but if I could just get more of God, he will take care of the rest. If I can just find myself saying, let me ask these questions, inquire in his temple, learn of him, he will supply my need. I don't have all the answers, but I don't have to. That's okay. He takes care of that. I don't know the right way to do everything. That's okay. His grace is sufficient. When I'm weakest, he'll take care of that. It looks bad, and it may get worse, but he's faithful. God is faithful. And if I can just learn more about him, I'll have more peace. See how that works? Not if I do something. Not if I get more stuff, if I just learn more about God, he'll take care of it. If I just learn more about him, he'll provide the peace. If I just seek him, he'll make a way. So instead of trying to do all this, figure out how to defeat the army, how to get rid of the ones after me, how to make them stumble, if I just focus and follow Jesus, he's faithful. God is faithful. And David verses 1 through 6 talks about, and 5 and 6 talks about being hid in the shelter in the day of trouble. Talks about being concealed until God is ready to lift him up. He talks about how his head at some point will be lifted around his enemies. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, but at some point God will do what he's promised to do, which is vindicate me, protect me, deliver me. Until then, God is faithful. I can just get a little bit more of him. I don't have to have it all figured. Just a little bit more of him. verses 7, and I'll move here, verses 7 through 12. I love verses 7 through 12 because this is the real David. And not that 1 and 6 weren't, right? But this is freaking out a little bit David. This is David saying, "Hear, Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious and answer to me. You've said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not from me. Turn not away from your servant in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me away. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation." David starts crying out, "Listen, God, you said seek you. That's all I want to do, but I need you." We get like that sometimes. You ever talk to God like that? Maybe you have that healthy fear. I think it's okay. David does it, so I think it's okay. I just blame David, by the way. Think about that. Not that you demand of God, not that you're yelling of God. I'm sure I've done it. God, what in the world is happening? God, I'm trying. I'm genuinely, I know last time I said I was, we know I wasn't. Okay, but now I'm really trying to get this thing figured out. Lord, has everyone lost their mind? I mean, we do this, right? David's saying, "Lord, you said seek you. My heart has said I have sought, I'm looking for you. God, hear me, please. Listen, I know I don't do it always the right way. I don't say it the right way. This is how I do it, right? I'm not as eloquent as David. This is how I do it. I messed up. I'm probably going to mess up again. I'm just asking you, you don't turn away from me in anger. You've forgiven me. You've died on a cross. But Lord, I can't make sense. What is going on? We see that in David. He's offering up these prayers. He's aggressively crying out to God. Maybe you haven't had those nights. If so, keep living. Not that I'm wishing evil on you, but keep living. You'll have those nights where you are crying out to God, struggling to make sense of what is going on. In fact, when he talks about being forsaken, in verse 10 he says, "My father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." As he's crying out to God, trying to make sense of whatever's going on, he says, "Listen, everyone else can forsake me, but you have to take me in. I need you to teach me your way. I need you to lead me on a path because of everything that's going on." It's easy when you're on a mountaintop to give praise. It's easy when you're in upstate New York, it's May, and the sun's finally out, and it's a nice warm day. It's easy to say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, this is great." It's easy to do that. It's hard. It's challenging. It's a test of your faith. When you're in the valley, to lift up your hands and say, "But I will praise you here too." It's a challenge. It's a test of your faith. When every day feels like a Monday, a long Monday at that, to say, "Okay, Lord, but in this I will give you thanks." When it's April and it's snowing again, to say, "Okay, Lord, but in this too I will give you thanks." Why? Because you're faithful. Because you are faithful, because you are the one who protects me and gives me comfort and peace. And if I can just have more of you, that if you can teach me your way, if you can lead me along your path, if you can just guide my every step, Lord, I know you will be faithful. It's easy to give praise when things are going our way, but can we learn to aggressively cry out to God because he's faithful? My daughter, and many of you met her last time, she has learned that when something happens, and kids do this, right? When something happens, go get mommy or daddy. Okay? She loves her grandparents. She runs to them. She plays with them. We were in New York City yesterday for a baby shower. She plays with her grandparents. She has a good time. She fell once. She ran and jumped in her grandfather's arms. Like, she loves that stuff. But something happened at some point, and she got, I don't know if she got spooked or if she's just tired, but she was done with everybody there. She was freaking out, And the first thing she said is, where's mommy and daddy? Well, grandpa, in his mind, he's thinking, oh, I held you before and you fell. I'll come hold you again. And as she walks over, and many of you met my daughter, she's a little diva, she stops and she says, no, go away, daddy, and runs. I love it because I'm daddy, so that works for me. Right? But she knows, I've got a, and I'm interpreting two-year-old toddler here, she knows, I've got to get to mommy, I've got to get to daddy, I'll be safe there. So she runs, she jumps in my arms, and she holds tight, buries her little head, and she's just there. I can't get her down. In fact, one time I was joking with my wife, I let go and kind of went like this, and she's holding tight. I mean, she wasn't moving. And then she probably stayed like that for like 25 minutes. We're ready to leave the party, and she doesn't want to say goodbye to anybody. She's just on me, greatest feeling in the world. But it got me thinking about safety and security in God. Really, it did. And I'm not being super spiritual. It really humbled me because I thought, Where do I run? Look, I'm a grown man. Who do I run to and jump on like this? When the pressures rock us, who do we go cling to? I guess my dad would give me a hug. Yeah, sure. You know where my safety is? Knowing that God's faithful. See, David could make statements like this. Because he knew he always had a place to run. He always had somewhere to go. He could be safe and hidden and protected, even if it didn't seem like it or feel like it at the time. See, God isn't this you run into his presence or you run into the church or you open your Bible and immediately it's solved. No, it's more like you get to know him more and more, knowing his intentions and what he's doing, and you trust him. When I first started dating my wife and we drove in a car together, she didn't trust me, asking 1,000 questions. Now, only about 100 questions. She's built up that if he makes a couple of turns, he probably still has a plan. Oh, we only come around this tree a couple of times? That's okay. He still has something working out. You build up trust the more you know, the closer you get with somebody, the more you can say things like, teach me your way. The more you cry out for them and they respond. I mean, it works that way, right? That's how we build trust with people. The more you call on your friend and they come through, you think highly of them. You call on a friend and they don't come through, you stop calling on them at some point. Now imagine a holy, awesome God who you call on him and he moves in your life. Things get done. Not halfway, not half-heartedly, but for your good. And these last two verses, David goes back to what we originally saw in him. He continues to stay aggressive, but in his praise to God, he makes a statement like, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What he's saying there is, I am not going to die because of this. I believe I am going to see on earth God's glory, which means he won't let me die from this. David was confident that whatever his problem was, it wouldn't be his problem for long. God was faithful, is faithful, and continues to be faithful. And his last verse here, he says, wait on the Lord. You ever, and you probably know this, they said this a lot. They ever tell you pray for patience? Don't pray for patience. Because you don't just get patience. You get a whole bunch of circumstance that force you to be patient. That sounds kind of silly, but that's how it works. Don't pray for patience because God doesn't sprinkle it on you. He puts you in circumstances where you probably can't do anything about, but have to wait on him. David saves us that and just says, let me tell you what to do. Wait on the Lord. Yeah, but they said they need an answer by next week. You wait on the Lord. Yeah, but this is due by, you wait on the Lord. There's some wisdom he gives us, some common sense he gives us. There's things we can do now to be faithful to God, but ultimately we have to wait on the Lord. In waiting on the Lord, be strong. And let your heart take courage. Be strong, knowing that God is faithful. He will deliver you. He is behind you. He is for you. Let your heart be of courage. Our heart, the moment our heart gets weak, we are done for. No matter what we think, no matter how we try to rationalize, the moment our heart gets weak, we give up, we lay down, and we are ready to die. Be strong. Let your heart take courage in the Lord and wait on the Lord. He says it again. Why? Because God is faithful. He will do what He's promised. And what He's promised is to be with you always until the end of the age. What He's promised is to never leave you or forsake you. What He's promised is a home for you, being that if you trust in Him for salvation, there's a home for you. What He's promised is to empower you with gifts to work, to live, to bear fruit on this earth. What He's promised you is a life, and abundantly so, in the here and now, until you go home. So take heart. Be of good courage. Be strong, waiting on God, that He's faithful, although you can't see it. He's faithful, although you're not sure how it works out. He's faithful, although the pressures are weighing down on you. He's faithful to lead you and guide you every step of the way. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait on the Lord. God is faithful. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for You. We are humbled. I am humbled and blown away when I think of this awesome, magnificent, holy, big God, right? Creator of everything, universe, everything in it. You've created, and then You personally care about each one of us. So much so that You are guiding our lives to look more like You, to impact people so they look more like You, ultimately to give You glory. Oh, and You bless us and care for us while we do it. Thank You, Father, for Your love that You have poured on us, continue to pour on us. Thank You for delivering us, helping us at the right time. And Father, if we should live with something, if we should have a thorn in our side, it doesn't mean You aren't faithful. It just means that it's needed in our life because You're doing something. Thank You for Your love once again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.